Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
I've done my sentence, but committed no crime.
His pass finds Manson on right wing at center. Into the middle for McKinnon. Taps it over and they score! Lehkonen gets to it on the left faceoff circle. And he snaps it past the glove hand of Vasilevskiy. The Avalanche have reached the mountaintop. And the Lightning's reign has run dry. Colorado is the 2022 Stanley Cup champions.
My friends.
State back in 1970, Queen in Cornwall, England, had their opening performance. And last night, the Colorado Avalanche returned. They scaled the heights, and they are back as the preeminent franchise in the National Hockey League, Stanley Cup champions by virtue of a hard-fought 2-1 victory in Tampa Bay, where they shut the Lightning down in the second half of the game. And no question about it, strong performance. It's got to be stated. They earned it. They deserved it. And away we go. What does it mean for the Edmonton Oilers? Well, time will tell. Coming up on today's edition of Oilers Now, which is brought to you by Digitex, buy or lease your next office network printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store, Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office IT and supplies. We got a lot to get to today. We'll hear a couple comments from Elliot Friedman on Evander Kane and Ville Husso from Friday's show. I also have a little bit of fun, as Nazem Kadri did post-game with Friedman and Amber. John Shannon, our regular Monday contributor to Oilers Now. He is our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling. He will join us today at 12:35. The Bakersfield Condors have made it official. Colin Chalk is their head coach. He was interim head coach when Jay Woodcroft came up from the farm. So that is taken care of. We will hear from Colin at 105. And the Edmonton Oil Kings season came to a disappointing conclusion at the Memorial Cup. Oil Kings were banged up. That said, there were some issues that undermined and plagued the team's success in a short tournament. We'll talk to Edmonton Oil Kings GM Kurt Hill, who, in fairness, probably, if not for the pandemic, would have seen Edmonton play in three straight WHL finals. I think that's they had enough talent and ability to do that. It was homegrown for the first 2 years. He imported a lot of talent in for this year. And unfortunately, one of the wrong players, actually two of the wrong players, got hurt. But there were some things that crept into the team's game as well. Again, Oilers Now is brought to you for the ninth consecutive season by Digitex. Buy or lease your next office network printer from the Digitex.ca e-commerce store, Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office IT and supplies. You can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 780-496-0063. Get the new floors you've always wanted, 143rd Street, 111th Avenue, or head to ashleyfinefloors.com for more information. And you can reach us on the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline, that number, 780-496-0063. Get the opportunity to get ready to rock out at the River Cree with Nazareth on August the 11th and Steve Earle on August the 12th. I know I saw Blair and the group at the River Cree for the night market on Friday night. It was good to see them there. They were busy, no question about it. Get your tickets now at the RiverCreeResort.com. Our top story today is threefold. Number one, the Avalanche deserved Stanley Cup champions. They were the best team. Number two, Colin Chalk is the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors. And number three, the Edmonton Oil Kings season ends two games short of their ultimate goal, which was to play in the Memorial Cup final. The top story for Legacy Heating and Cooling, whether it's heating or cooling you need, get it with no payments, no interest for a year. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. I'm out of the home office today. Back at the 630 Chad Studios is Brendan Escott. Brendan, for me, the best team won. It's been a build with Colorado. They absolutely crushed two trades in particular, one of which involved Matt Duchene and the other of which involved Devin Toews giving up two second-round draft choices for Devin Toews, a guy that basically played 24 minutes a game. And they also got the best player, you know, very similar to what happened in 2014 with Edmonton. Was on this date that the Oilers took Leon Draisaitl third overall. We were in Philadelphia that year for the draft, and Leon's the best player from that draft. And you look at that 2017 draft and getting Cale Makar from that draft year, just critical. But give me, you know, did the best team win in your opinion?
Yeah, I think that's the best way to describe the season, right? Like, they were a team that was picked early on in the season to be to finish where they did. They're a team that, as you mentioned, did the internal growth thing for a long time. They were down, they drafted well, and then when it came time for them to make that final push over the hill, they went out at the deadline, and not only did they crush trades for guys like Devin Toews, but how big was Josh Manson for them in insulating the back end down the stretch? So I guess we'll see what happens with them in goal, but overall, that's a franchise that went about it all the right way, and they had a great challenge and they were able to overcome it in Tampa Bay too.
Now, I do believe we are going to see some change shortly with the Colorado Avalanche. It would not surprise me if this summer, if Chris McFarland is named general manager. He worked with Scott Housen in Columbus. He and Jared Bednar coached Bednar coached Columbus's farm team. He was the GM of that team. Did a lot of the contract negotiation as well for the Blue Jackets organization. I recall having Bill Zito on the show and talking about, you know, budgetary limitations, and did that provide more opportunity to grow and learn the business from a hockey operations perspective for Zito, who, as many of you now know, is with the Florida Panthers. And McFarland basically brought Bednar in on short notice when Patrick Waugh quit the organization in Denver in the summer of 2016. And the Avalanche had as bad a season as anybody over the last, you know, 20, 25 years in 16, 17. And there were a lot of question marks about guys like Landeskog and MacKinnon, even to a lesser extent Rantanen, even though he was a 2015 draft. Well, lo and behold, you know, Colorado's been cycling up the right way ever since. They've been focused on skill and speed in their lineup. They place a strong emphasis on analytics. You know, just the reality of the situation is the amount of digital information. We're seeing this in the NCAA in terms of recruiting. I know I bumped into had a lengthy conversation last night with a former CFL general manager and a head coach that's in town that lives in the city south side. And recruiting's done completely differently in football today than it was done 20, 25 years ago. And that's because you can watch a highlight pack effectively put together without looking like grainy film from the 1960s of virtually every player that you're recruiting today. And you can extend that metaphor for how you can pro-scout today in the National Hockey League. I still think you need eyes in the building. I do think there's something to be said for experience and those sort of things. But I also think you have to understand the technical nuances and change. And, you know, it's interesting. I'd be intrigued to know which organizations have – I'll give you an example. Do you have – you know, the pro scouting side of the organization, like on the amateur side, because I think the information is less reliable, I think you have to get more viewings in. But on the pro side, Are you focusing in on a couple guys because that's what the numbers are telling you makes sense and the video tells you makes sense, and then you go in specifically to look at those guys? I think it'd be a really engaging conversation, and I'm not necessarily saying there's a right way or a wrong way, but I certainly know in college football, which is massive business in the United States, that there has been a paradigm shift. The days of, you know, the coach, you know, the legendary story about Bo Jackson's one of my favorite athletes of all time, and how, or even the courtship of Marcus Dupree, who briefly did suit up in the CFL. Mark attended the Eskimo camp and was along with Herschel Walker and Bo Jackson. Marcus Dupree was one of the three most heavily recruited running backs in the 1980s. Three most heavily recruited players in the 1980s. And how the, you know, opportunity that was there comes into being in terms of discussion points. And, you know, is it the head coach of the program that comes out? Is it the head recruiter that comes out? Well, now it's completely changed because of the opportunity to access video and specifically target the right sort of player for the right needs. And I'm intrigued to see where this goes, because I would suggest to you, my guess is, relatively speaking, to a sport like college football or the National Football League, the NHL is a little behind. But I do believe that Colorado and Tampa Bay are two of the organizations that were ahead. And so I think there's things to be learned from those organizations. I don't think there's anything about it. And that's where I'm going to circle back to you, Brendan, here. I think we have to admire what Tampa Bay did. I mean, six out of... I'll tell you this right there. I'll just throw this. Like, you're a BC kid. How many conference championships did the Sedins play in? How many times did the Vancouver Canucks advance beyond the second round of the playoffs during the time that the Sedins, because they're up to date, to go in the Hockey Hall of Fame? Do you know off the top of your head how many times they went beyond round two?
I think it was just the once.
You nailed it.
They couldn't get past Chicago. They couldn't get past L.A.
Once. So you talk to people out in B.C., and I remember a few years ago hearing one of them, they were playing the Oilers, and Edmonton had beaten them at the end of the season. It might have been 13 or 14, whatever the case. And they're like, well, you know, we're in our Stanley Cup window or Stanley Cup years. And I'm like, you've gone beyond round two once. And we thought of Vancouver as being a pretty good team for a number of those years. Like, they won the Northwest Division a bunch of times, which just makes what Tampa Bay did that much more amazing. Six of the last 8 years, they've made it to the Eastern Conference Final. They've gone to, what, four Stanley Cups now, and they're 2-2. And I had a little bit of empathy for them last night. Colorado got some breaks along the way. I mean, let's face it, Colorado, Leon Draisaitl and Darnell Nurse were not healthy. Colorado was better than Edmonton. There's no mistake they were better than Edmonton. But they won 3-1 goal games. And if those guys are at 100%, maybe they don't win 3-1 goal games. Colorado was better than Tampa Bay. But if Braden Point plays healthily in that series, maybe it's even tighter of a window. So tell me, Brendan, should we admire what Tampa Bay's done over the course of the last several years?
Yeah, certainly. In the production that we've been able to see and the way that they've built the team and sort of become the model franchise, I think, in a lot of ways for how the new NHL is being conducted. They're a team, Bob, that, like, I think for 3 or 4 years here have been continually trying to prolong the window for themselves by adding guys like Brandon Hagel at the deadline. So we'll see how much longer they feel like they can kick the can down the road with these veterans.
Well, I think that it's got to be stated what Julian Brisebois did, getting Gaudreau and Coleman before, and then this year getting Hagel. Well, you know, they're going to be hard-pressed to re-sign Nick Paul. And you know how much I love Nick Paul. But they weren't the only team that was looking at Hagel. But the fact that they sat there and said, you know what, a late first-round pick for a guy that can help us immediately over the next couple of years on a cost-controlled contract, we can do that. We can do that deal because we believe we're going to be that competitive. So I wouldn't write – I think Tampa Bay could be back in it next year. We know, even though Colorado's got like eight UFAs, right? Like, Nazem Kadri is an unrestricted free agent. You mentioned Manson. He's an unrestricted free agent. those are two pretty critical players. I think we'll start with Kadri, and then you got Nichushkin as well as Burakovsky. I mean, those are three of their top six forwards. Those guys are good players. They might not be quite as deep as they were this year. This might have, right? Whereas you look at Tampa, the base of that team is probably going to pretty much stay in. Frankly, so will Colorado. But lots to be admired by those two organizations, no question about it. It is 12:20 in Edmonton. Bob Stauffer and Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. Time for the Oilers Now Audio Vault for Direct Workwear, featuring Edmonton's largest selection, unbeatable prices, and customer service that makes you feel like family. Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey on Rogers for Mid-City Construction Management was on the show on Friday. He had this to say on Evander Kane's potential suitors this offseason.
I think that, like, I think it just depends on what he wants, right? I think it really does come down to what kind of contract he's looking for. You know, one of the challenges with Kane is that he's played for a few teams already. And, you know, some of those teams aren't going to want to go back there. So that cuts down your market a little bit. I think that there will be some teams. Like, I really think it comes down to the contract. You know, I was talking to one agent yesterday, and the one thing that he's talking about is that there's not a lot of money in the system. And it's going to, like, there's going to be some guys who are definitely going to get paid. Like, Johnny Gaudreau is going to get paid. Philip Forsberg is going to get paid. I think Kadri gets paid. Like, I think there's a few guys that are really in excellent shape for getting paid. But I think after that, I think also with that is, what kind of team do you want to play for? You know, there's some teams that have money that aren't that aren't really that good. I think that's a factor too. Like, I think all of these are issues. I don't think, I put it this way, I don't think Kane's market is as big as some of the other markets will be for some of these players. But I think what it really comes down to is what kind of deal he wants. And I think there's teams out there who'd be willing to go 4 years for sure. I just don't know how many are going to want to go longer than that.
Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers for Mid-City Construction Management. There we go. All right, so we'll see what happens here with Evander Kane, and we'll see how things ultimately end up taking place. This text comes to us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line from Mitch. He says, Bob, from a pro scouting report, I would have loved to have gotten Hagel, but Tampa Bay really paid for him if the players work out. Also, Paul, but again, Tampa paid for him. Colorado pickups look a little bit more stealth. Well, that's because they won. I mean, Mitch, that's part of the reason is they won it all. I mean, you look at Hagel, and they got Hagel for the next couple of years, right? Like, the Colorado, you can make the argument, the Canadians gave up Lehkonen, and there's still term left in Lehkonen's deal. So that's a somewhat fair assessment. Let's do this. It is 12:23 in Edmonton.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When we come back, we're going to hear from Nazem Kadri, and we'll get to NHL Today for Elite Promotional Marketing. You're listening to Oilers Now. Today is Monday, June 27th. I will tell you that the Oilers have some meetings currently taking place for the next 3 or 4 days. I don't know where we're at right now with Mike Smith or Duncan Keith. Again, my guess is Keith's probably 75-80% chance he comes back and plays. Even though he technically would only make $1.15 million. and $1.5 million this year on a $5.5 million cap hit. Mike Smith injured three times last year at 40, now 40 years of age. Sometimes those guys end up going on LTIR. We'll have to wait and see. All right, we got to run it. We're going to go back in the Oilers Now audio vault for direct workwear. Nazem Kadri had a rather animated conversation with Elliot Friedman and David Amber, courtesy of Rogers. Here is that post-game interaction.
Oh, it still feels like a dream, really. It feels even better than I thought it would. So it's an incredible moment. You know, the fashion we did it, the adversity we faced, it's, picture perfect. This is incredible.
Your journey the last couple of weeks, you get injured against Edmonton. You didn't know if you'd be able to play. The game-winning goal the other night. Just take us through the emotion of the last few weeks.
Oh, it's such a roller coaster ride in terms of emotions. You know, obviously I break my hand. I think I'm done. Back, I couldn't even tie my own skates. So I shout out to the trainer, tying my skates before every game. I don't care, whatever it took, I was going to be out here one way or another.
Now, as you have a lot of fans down in Southern Ontario, London, of course, Toronto, etc. What do you want to say to all those fans out there that have stuck with you and wanted to see you have this moment?
I love you guys. I love you guys. That's all there is to be said. I mean, I've had supporters in my corner from day one, never wavered. And, playoffs, you can kiss my ass.
Congratulations.
There you have it. Well, if he stays in either of the two series against Boston, maybe Austin Matthews advances beyond the first round. Still hasn't. 39 career games played for Matthews and Marner, and they still haven't advanced out of the first round of the playoffs at any point. We are going to go into NHL today for our friends at Elite. The guy's a heck of a player, Nazem Kadri. He's going to hit the home run in the free agency market this year. NHL today for our friends at Elite Promotional Marketing, your local branded merchandising specialist. Head to elitepromomarketing.com. Here's Brendan Escott.
The Hall of Fame, in fact, will introduce that class of 2022 this afternoon. You mentioned that former Canucks greats Daniel Henrik Sedin are up. So is goaltender Roberto Luongo, former Red Wings winger Henrik Zetterberg, and four-time Olympic gold medalist Caroline Ouellette are among those eligible for first-time induction. First time since 2001, yeah, it is the Colorado Avalanche Stanley Cup champions. The Oil Kings not advancing out of the preliminary round. If you missed that, out of the top of the show at the Memorial Cup, and they lost 4-2 on Friday to Hamilton. So a spot in the final against host St. John will be decided tonight between those Bulldogs and the Shawinigan Cataracts. Xavier Bourgault tied for the tournament lead, 6 points in three games. The final game will go Wednesday night, 4 o'clock our time. And Chicago named Luke Richardson head coach of the franchise. He is the 40th in Blackhawks history.
Former Edmonton Oiler. Lots going on with Chicago. Keep hearing everybody's available there, including Kirby Dach. I just don't get it. I wonder what happens with Dylan Strome. Like, if they don't qualify him, you put him on a team with guys that can make plays, he's pretty good in the slot. Could be an intriguing guy to watch as well. John Shannon will join us, our NHL insider for Legacy Heating and Cooling, at about 12:34. But right now, we're going to head off to a Global News weather traffic update. We welcome back Eileen Bell.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.